In a previous podcast, I discussed Good Energy, and that is a book by Dr. Means, which mostly discusses diet. But when we think about energy, how is the body producing energy? Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I'm doing a simulcast to talk about mitochondria, so stay tuned. Welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman, and today on the show, I'm doing a simulcast, so this might be a little shorter than I typically do. And if you are listening to this on a podcast, I will try and describe what's on the slides. But if you get a chance, you can check this out on YouTube as well, because I will post it both on the podcast side and as a video. So now, mitochondria are really, really important in the body, and they are kind of their own organisms that live within our cells, and they are responsible for a lot of different functions, which we'll get into. Now, I'm not going to go through everything about mitochondria because that could be literally a whole course on its own. This is part of a course that I have on my website at AskDrGill.com. And you can find more information about it. It's actually, if you check on courses, it's the full course, Nutrients for Anxiety Relief. That covers methylation, epigenetics, mitochondria, inflammation, the role of testing, which is actually a really important aspect of this, because oftentimes when tests are run, the ranges are wrong. And so it not only talks about that issue with terms of ranges, but also in terms of what tests to run. And then I talk about the other things like diet, other treatments, polyvagal theory a little bit, and body work and that sort of thing, neurofeedback briefly. And then finally, I talk about vitamins and the role of vitamins. Now, the focus of this course is on anxiety, but this is not just about anxiety. It's about any kind of health issues, because ultimately most health issues start with inflammation in the body, and the inflammation is coming from the mitochondria, potentially. So here we go. So what are the mitochondria? They are the powerhouses of the cells, and they're responsible for producing ATP. They have other functions as well. So if you look at the structure of a mitochondria, they're kind of like a balloon, if you will, with another balloon inside of it. and those two spaces allow for the mitochondria to produce the energy. And I actually have a slide about that later on. I'll see if I can describe it for the people listening. But basically, it uses that, it's an inner membrane, and it uses that inner membrane to create a gradient that then allows for something called the electron transport chain to then produce ATP. So it's in fact, it's recycling ADP, adenosine diphosphate, to adenosine triphosphate, and then our body will split that molecule, it splits a phosphate off, and that produces energy, and then the body can do what it does. Now, what's interesting about mitochondria is that healthy cells have several thousand of these potentially in them. And in neurons, the neurons' connections are where the mitochondria congregate. And this is actually how scientists could find neural connections. They looked for clumps of mitochondria. And that's because there's so much energy needing to be produced right there. Now, what's interesting about mitochondria is that they do more than just power the cell. They are also sensing and responding to the environment. And we're going to talk I'll talk a little bit about what happens in there. But in effect, they can't communicate with one another about what is going on. And what's fascinating about this is the communication doesn't just happen within the mitochondria within the cell, but the mitochondria within all of the cells in our body are able to communicate, and then they respond to the environment. And this may be part of where our inflammation cycles can go askew, in effect, because what happens is that there's an alarm raised, and it's like, oh, we got to deal with this. We got to deal with this, even though there may not be something that you can see is going on. And a quick example of that is that if you get a chemical exposure, you might feel stressed, even though you don't know that you got the chemical exposure or necessarily experienced some kind of other symptom related to it, because the body is responding to it. And that does happen for some people. So this is, if you're watching this, you can see the electron transport chain. You're basically having the NADH, the FADH2 coming through, bringing hydrogen through. CoQ10 is a cofactor in here. NAD and FAD, by the way, are B vitamins. So, or are B vitamin derivatives. So NAD is B3, FAD is B2. This is why we need to take vitamins, in part, is to support the mitochondria. So mitochondria are responsible for many functions in the body, including ATP synthesis, like I said. They also create reactive oxygen species. Now, this is beyond the scope of this talk, but ROS production, that's important in terms of fighting off infections or some kind of inflammatory body in the body, like something that's foreign to the body or something that may need to go away, like a cell that is ready to die. That is kind of the mitochondria help with the programming in the cell death. They also help with calcium regulation because they become, in effect, a sink for calcium. Calcium, by the way, is one of those tests. If you ever get a calcium test and it's out of range, you want to follow up on that because that's one of the few things that is incredibly tightly regulated in the body. And oftentimes it can be off because you're dehydrated or overhydrated or something like that. It can be slightly off, but if it's way off, you want to follow up, probably repeat the test and talk to your doctor about that. It's rare. I don't see it very often, thankfully, so in my practice. Mitochondria also are responsible for hormone and neurotransmitter synthesis, and this is how we adapt to the environment, right? So it's going to sense something that's going on, create hormones and neurotransmitters, as well as regulate our cell genetics. It was really interesting when I was doing research on this that it turns out the mitochondria may play a role in methylation. And so they may actually be methylating our nucleic DNA. So, and here's a better picture. Again, I'm sorry if you're listening to this, but this is a great picture of the cell. And it basically shows the mitochondria within the cell. It's only showing one. But mitochondria move around based on where the energy is needed within the cell. And they can respond, like I said, to the environment. So I talked a little bit about this at the beginning, but there's basically a gradient that's created by these rugae. They're basically like, if you think of them like, if you take your fingers, you take your hands and you put them together, and you kind of see that there's a pattern of sort of up and down. Those are the rugae in the membrane. And so there's a gradient between the inside and the outside of this membrane. And they actually change function based on the location, or they change shape rather, based on the location or what function they're trying to do. What's interesting is that the mitochondria within a cell can line up the rugae in such a way, and you can see, if you look online, you can see electron micrographs of this, so that they can produce more of whatever they're doing and work together. It's really fascinating. And by the way, the research on this stuff on the mitochondria that I'm talking about, most of it is within the last 5 to 10 years. And some of the papers that I used when I was creating the course had come out in the last year. So this is changing. This is a new branch of research that is really opening us up to something. And part of why I talk about this, just I should probably say this, is that, you know, because my work generally is around brain health and neurological health and psychological health. And oftentimes, dysfunction in the mitochondria is the root cause of this. So we want to make sure these are working well, because that's where the healing can occur. And this isn't always a quick fix, just so you know. This can take time, because typically mitochondria are fairly hardy in most people, and there's something that's hit it in a way that is creating problems long term. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about mitochondria and their function. So stay tuned. And today on Ask Dr. Gill, we're talking about mitochondria and the role of mitochondria in the body, as well as in terms of mental health and inflammation. And if you do have questions, please feel free to send an email to info@askdrgill.com. And I usually get back to everybody about these questions that they might have. So the other curious thing about mitochondria is, you know, several billion years ago, you've got single cell organisms going around, and where mitochondria come in is they were their own single cell organism, and they merged with another cell, and that became the basis for what we call eukaryotic cells, which is the bulk of life that we experience in life, you know, in our world, animals and plants. Pretty much most of them are eukaryotic cells, and or made up of eukaryotic cells, and certainly humans are. And what's curious about mitochondria is they have their own DNA, and we call it mtDNA. So it mostly is responsible for the blueprints for the respiratory chain enzymes. So these are the proteins within the electron transport chains. And they basically are proteins to convert oxygen and food into energy using these membrane potentials. So when you eat something, your body, you use energy to basically break it down. So let's say you have a piece of cheese, and you're basically using a bunch of enzymes to cleave the cheese. Well, first you chew it, hopefully. And that breaks things down, and your saliva will break things down. And as you swallow it, it comes into your stomach, and the acid pulls certain things away. And then you have different proteins, amylases and lactases and so forth, peptide chain, you know, that are cleaving everything and bringing it into smaller and smaller bits. And as you get into these small molecules, this is where it gets to the cells. The cells break it down a little more and then send whatever it needs, usually in the form of pyruvate, that's beyond the scope of what we need to discuss, into the electron transport chain, which is then going to create ATP. Now, it's important to recognize that you use energy to make energy. And this is why sometimes overeating is a bad thing. I mean, there's other reasons for it, but you're basically using too much energy to produce energy. And I don't have a good analogy right now, I'm sorry. But this is, you know, in terms of the electron transport chain, this is similar to how a battery stores an electrical charge. And this DNA and also the mitochondria can get damaged over time. So when this happens, neurons specifically, and other cells will do this too, but neurons will swap unhealthy mitochondria for healthy ones with glial cells. Glial cells are the helper cells in the brain. And they coordinate this function with the nucleus, with the cell nucleus of the neuron. So when there's problems in the glial cells, or they can't repair the mitochondria, or they can't get new mitochondria that are healthy, this is when you start to see a degradation in neurological function. And this may be, by the way, where something like dementia, specifically Alzheimer's, is happening, is that it's damaging the mitochondria, and we can't get fresh ones into the system. So mitochondria energy production, I don't want to go too much into this, but there's ion gradients, there's glycolysis, there's fatty acid metabolism, and the citric acid cycle. And this is kind of important, and I bring this up because we basically, when I talk about vitamin health, it's super important to recognize how many different vitamins are a part of the function of mitochondria. You've got riboflavin. I mentioned riboflavin and niacin earlier, but you also got CoQ10. You've got carnitine, iron, magnesium, manganese, thiamine, B1, B2, B3, cysteine, which is an amino acid, and by extension, glutathione. And these are all really important in the production of energy from the mitochondria at various stages. So as a quick aside, this image, if you're listening to this, it's an image of the citric acid cycle and the electron transport change. It actually comes from one of the tests done. It's called a NutriVal, or it's also, this one happens to be from the NutriVal, but there's also one called an organic acids test, which is basically looking at the same thing. And if you look at this carefully, you understand how many pieces are involved in creating the energy. But when you do the test, you can see where there are potential blockages in the body. And this is an important piece to understand in terms of overall health. Now, I don't necessarily order this for everybody, but when we order other tests or we've tried treatments in certain ways and they're not working, we might want to order this test at some point. I've had patients who've ordered this test, brought it to me. I love doing that. And sometimes we repeat it and we can see how things have changed. So the other thing about this test that I will say is that there is if you look down at the bottom, there's the 8-OHDG. That actually is a good sort of thumb in the wind marker for cancers. It's not specific to any cancer, but it does show us if there's damage within the DNA. And that is something to look at if you have a history, if your family has a history of cancer and so forth. I think that, and certain companies will run that by itself, by the way. That's what I wanted to talk about today. If you're interested in learning more, check out my course. It's on my website, askdrgill.com. And it's, you know, full of a lot of really good information and organized in a way. Like I said, it's called Nutrients for Anxiety Relief. I needed to organize it around something, but it actually can be useful for any kind of condition as well as what vitamins, tests, and so forth to do. If you like the episode, please share that down below, share it with a comment, or click the like button. And I hope you've gotten something out of this and enjoyed it. And I'm